Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron, and I've got Belinda in the studio. Welcome, Belinda.
Kia ora, morena.
Normally there's a crop swap every second weekend or twice a month at the bowling club on Sundays?
Twice a month. It's the first and the third Sunday of every month.
But this month is, well, this weekend is a special one because it's the pumpkin festival.
That's right. It's pretty exciting.
And it's harvest season, even I've worked that out. So just tell us a little bit about what that is and who can be involved.
Well, our community event is open to everybody in the community. We even have people from Waitatuna and a little bit further coming along.
Okay.
Yeah, and so it's our annual pumpkin festival. We have divisions for children.
Yeah.
So bring the family along. One thing that we love to promote in Crop Swap is it's all very well saving the gardeners, but we need to look forward to the next generation of gardeners. So bring your children.
Okay, and so are there different sort of categories that you can enter? Like I presume the premier competition is who's got the biggest pumpkin. Is that the case?
It's definitely about who's got the biggest, and that seems to be a bit of excitement this year after such a fantastic growing season. Mm. I have seen some big pumpkins around the town coming in.
So that is one of the categories, like biggest?
Yes, biggest. We also have smallest, which is pretty fun. So it's the smallest fully formed pumpkin. Now, these pumpkins, they can be from any variety. In my own garden this year, I've got the Queensland Blue turned out to be my biggest. But I also have a new addition, which is the Chuck's Winter Nellis pumpkin, which turned out pretty big.
Are you feeling confident about winning at all?
Oh, I was feeling really confident, actually, Aaron, until about a week ago when a friend of mine, she showed me her pumpkins and my heart just dropped. I'm like, oh my goodness, that's even bigger than mine. But
it's a bumpy year.
It is, and I mean, it's always about the fun of seeing everybody's great big pumpkins. So whether you think you're a winner or not, bring your pumpkins along. Any type of pumpkin, if you've got a bit of size going on. Yeah, we also have a division for the weirdest pumpkin. So this is always interesting to see what unusual things pop up as far as pumpkin goes. And we also have...
This is like strange shapes.
Strange shapes, particularly, And I've got a pumpkin that I'm entering in the weirdest, and it has all these weird kind of... I think it's actually going a bit soft on the inside, but it's got like an unusual pattern growing on the side of it that's really quite artistic, so I thought I'd bring that out for my weirdest.
Okay, cool. Pumpkin art as well, I see. Is that a category, like people are making, how does that work?
it's quite random, Aaron. People come in with pumpkins that are made into boats. They have like a pumpkin show with different people. So, I mean, it's a pumpkin theme. We also have one of our Crop Swap guardians who is 9 months pregnant. Yeah. And she did a most incredible pumpkin art painting, use your imagination here, of her belly as a pumpkin.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, it's about, extending your creativity here for pumpkin art.
Because I was going to be like, is it art that's about pumpkins or is it art made of pumpkins? So, but anything.
Both of those things.
Yeah, both of those things.
Pumpkin theme.
Yep.
Good one for the kids.
Yeah. What about, is there some baking as well?
Yes, so the pumpkin baking is it's always quite amazing what comes out. We usually have pumpkin breads, pumpkin cakes, pumpkin slices. And if you are entering in our pumpkin baking savoury or sweet competition, please consider cutting it into small pieces or at least a section of it into small pieces so that our judges can all have a sample and maybe other people from our Crop Swap might want a sample as well.
Does everybody want to be a judge from Crop Swap? Is there quite a queue for that?
There's
job.
For the pumpkin baking, yes.
For that specifically.
We tend to line up, but we do have a lady from our Ragland community who, for the last few years, has kindly been our judge. So, yeah, we leave it up to her. And all of our results are published in Raglan Chronicle. So,
okay.
Yeah, you'll see an update of our event.
You'll see some images. I want to know how big the biggest pumpkin will be.
Yeah, photos, details.
Yeah, cool. What about, is it exclusively pumpkins?
No, not exclusively. As being harvest season, Aaron, we've also opened it up to the biggest choco.
Yeah.
Just a bit of side bragging here, filling my own wheelbarrow. I'm actually the reigning champ for our biggest choco.
You don't want to drop that. You've been waiting all interview for this moment.
I have, yes.
So you've got the same. Is it the same plant or is it a different plant each year? I don't know anything about the choco.
The chocos, wow. We have in Raglan, we have fantastic, it would seem, soil, climate, everything for growing chocos. And a choco is a fruit that grows on a vine. We even have a little booklet that comes along with our choco and pumpkin festival on what to do with chocos, because usually we have so many of them. If you have a plant, you'll know what they're all about. They tend to cover up your whole garage or maybe your whole water tank, or take out half of the neighbour's house wanting to claim the world for growing.
Yeah.
And we also have a category for the biggest feijoa.
How big does the biggest feijoa, because we all have feijoa trees in our properties, or a lot of us do. How big is the biggest feijoa been in past years?
Pretty big, Aaron. I've seen last year they were the size of an avocado.
Oh my god! Do they taste very good at that size?
Absolutely, yeah, still good. Tasting good is all about, I guess, you know, how much water and how much nutrients that the tree gets, but that's also going to contribute to the size. And I remember last year the people with the biggest feijoas, people were saying, oh, that's not a feijoa, it's a melon.
It's still actually a feijoa. The reason I was asking about the choco plant was I was trying to figure out if you still had the same plant and if you might win again this year. Trying to work out.
See. Well,
The conditions are more important. The seeds and the conditions rather than the plant.
Both of those things, yeah. I mean, the plant comes back every year. It dies off in the winter.
But you don't have to do anything at all?
No, I don't. I do water it. Yeah, it's in an area where it gets runoff nutrients and water from my garden sprinkler, so it's probably why it tends to grow so well. And I also have, it grows over top of my water tank, so being up off the ground and kept at a nice temperature. Chokers are a climber, so they really like to climb over a fence or over your garage, and then, you know, with a bit of ambient heat, they do really well.
Okay. And what do they taste like?
Well, that's that's really a personal preference there.
An acquired taste?
They are quite bland. Surprisingly, they're really high in nutrients, really high in vitamin C. So, they're definitely something not to be denied as a contribution to your dinner plate. My favourite memory, Aaron, is my grandmother used to make a white sauce or a cheese sauce, and we'd have chocos with the cheese sauce, which is a delicious way. Just a confession here, I end up with so many chocos, I tend to roast them up in the afternoon and feed them to my chickens the next morning. They don't eat them raw, but they don't seem to get sick of them when it's choco season. They love them.
They're happy with it, okay. Mm-hmm. But I presume someone's, like you mentioned before, that I think someone's got some recipes about what to do with your choco.
Yeah, we have a little booklet that comes along with chocos, so pick up one of those. We have one of our wonderful guardians that supplies a little booklet on what to do with your chocos.
Yeah. So, folks, we're talking to Belinda about the Raglan Pumpkin Festivals. That's happening this Sunday, the 7th, at the Bowling Club. The times. Tell people the times. Times to get your entries in and times to come and look at the results and the prize winners.
Cool. Okay. Thanks, Aaron. Yeah. So If you'd like to bring along a pumpkin for the competition, your entry must be in before 10 a.m. down at the bowling club. So I suggest turning up at 9:30, so it gives you plenty of time to line up your pumpkin and also just have a look around at what we're doing with our swap. So we will get straight into our pumpkin judging, and we also have our regular swap on the day. So our raglan crop swap only takes around 15, 20 minutes. It's amazing how quickly we can clear the tables. And, yeah, so 10 a.m, come down with your pumpkin this Sunday at Raglan Bowling Club if you'd like to have a look. Again, be there just before 10 a.m. so that, you can find yourself a good place in the room to have a squizzy and have a look at our prize pumpkins.
And if people don't know much about the crop swap, just a brief, people can bring along the stuff that they've grown or baked to and put it on the table and then swap with whatever's there, I guess. Is that how it works?
That's how it works. It's not a direct swap. It's not like one for one. It's so we do encourage anything from the kitchen. Sometimes people just bring clean preserving jars or egg cartons. I've actually seen people, one really cool thing was a guy who regularly brings dried out cabbage leaves, which are pretty much no good for anything except for fire starters.
Okay.
So he dries them out, wraps them up in a little bundle. I mean, they all go.
Right.
And it's surprising, like, you'd think that, for example, feed jars at this time of the year, everyone might have feed jars, but people bring feed jars, they all go. And there's even just dried herbs that might randomly be growing in or near your garden. Collect up herbs, fresh or dried. And, yeah, if you don't have a garden, then baking is always really popular. And, yeah, I know people who do baking. They don't have a garden, but they do baking so that they can come along and then put their baking on the table. We stand back, we introduce ourselves, and then we can just take from the tables of whatever we need. So, yeah, those people with baking might just grab some fresh greens, which they don't have available.
Mm. It's awesome. So that's two times a month.
Happens on Sundays. Yeah, so the first Sunday and the third Sunday of every month, two times a month. And it's really fun. Like, it's amazing here in our community, Aaron. People are so generous.
Yeah.
We have people that do preserving, and there's lots of jars of marmalade and relishes and chutneys. And wow, this time of the year, there seems to be a lot of excess of that. It's an abundance down at our crop.
Yeah, this time of year especially. Yeah, and it's interesting. This is one of these things. I think that somebody thought we'll try this and see how it goes, and it just has kept going. Like, its popularity has not diminished. It's been going for several years now, hasn't
it? Absolutely. Actually, we've been going for about 7 years now.
Right. Okay.
And when we started, we had probably only about 12 or 15 regular for the first couple of months, the growth has just been exponential. We've had on average we have around 40 or 50 every swap, sometimes bigger, sometimes 60. I think our record's about
really?
80.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but on average we have 40 or 50 people every time turn up.
Brilliant. And I should mention too, folks, sometimes if you're a regular listener, you'll hear me do the What's On Guide and say there's Nia dance classes with Belinda, 9:30 this morning in the town hall. I say that on Wednesdays. And this is the Belinda.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd mention that. And tell us what Nia means, because it doesn't necessarily make any sense to someone if they don't know.
That's a great question, Aaron.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Nia is an acronym, and it stands for Neuromuscular Integrated Action.
Yeah.
And those are really just, big fancy words that we've abbreviated into Nia. And there is a lot of body science it's an evolving movement. So we regularly call in different body scientists to help put together the choreography. And we have an amazing range of songs that I have a music license for to use for the Nia dance that I offer. And yeah, it's really just, there's a lot of science in it, but it's disguised. The science is disguised in the fun.
Yep.
And also the creating social fun and interaction for people. So it's a lot more also about, creating social interactions as well as healthful movement and dancing.
Excellent. All right. Well, thank you for coming in, Belinda. And don't forget, folks, Raglan Pumpkin Festival this Sunday. What time it?
Yeah, be there before 10 o'clock. We kick off at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to join the swap, also bring along something to contribute for our swap. So Raglan Bowling Club, Sunday the 7th. Be there before 10 a.m. and come and have a look at our pumpkin festival.
Awesome. All right. Thanks for coming in.